You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Hey, everyone. This is Mark Schaefer. Join me, Mitch Joel, Tom Webster, and so many others at this fall's Social Brand Forum in beautiful Iowa City, Iowa. Every person who attends will get a free copy of my new book, The Content Code. Learn more and register now at socialbrandforum.com. Can't wait to see you there.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? Today's guest is Nish DeGruyter, formerly employed with Brunello Cucinelli, suit supplies market maker. 30-year-old Nish DeGruyter was instrumental in bringing suit supply to the U.S. with the opening of its flagship store in New York City's Soho neighborhood in June 2011. Just 4 years later, Suit Supply has increased to 16 stores across the country. Suit Supply is a market-defining men's fashion brand founded in 2000 in Amsterdam that's showing strong international growth. In addition to their stores in the U.S., the company also has stores in the Netherlands, the United Kingdom, Italy, Germany, Belgium, Latvia, Lithuania, Belarus, Russia, and China. Suit Supply's strength lies in a trusted formula, straight to the point and still personal. The ultimate combination of craftsmanship and flair. GQ magazine said it best when they stated, "Well, it's official. We've fallen for Suit Supply's unmistakable brand of cool at prices that will keep your credit card in similar shape." Nish, welcome to On Brand.
Thank you.
So it's interesting because when we were giving the rundown of the show before we started recording, I mentioned that we close each show with a question for our guest that is, name a brand that has made you smile recently. And a few weeks back, we had Tom Wyatt of branding and design firm Siegel & Gale on the show. And the brand that he mentioned was Suit Supply. And I was blown away as I started looking and learning more about Suit Supply. So I kind of gave a 1,000-foot-up snapshot. But for those that may not know, tell us a bit about what Suit Supply is.
So at Suit Supply, we are basically all about menswear tailoring. Like, we are a real tailor destination. And our brand is a vertically integrated model. That means that we produce, design, and sell. We do it all in-house. So there's no middleman in between. The only thing that we buy at a third party is our fabric. And our fabrics are all from Italy, from the Biella region, where there's a really big focus on manufacturing yarns and making a beautiful cloth. So we buy there, then we ship overseas to Far East or to Europe. We ship our fabrics there. We have an in-house design team who does all the design. And it goes straight from the factory to the store. So that's one of the reasons why we can keep our prices fairly low. And you don't have a middleman who takes a cut or a final retailer who takes the cut, which at the end all getting calculated by and the final consumer has to pay for it. And in this case, you don't. And that's why that's one of the things that we are focused on. And so,
you know, it's, I think, you know, when you talk about being vertically integrated, I think that's something that sometimes people can gloss over and think that it's just an organizational business term, but they don't think about what that really means. And, you know, in looking at the high-end nature of your brand, I have to think that that vertical integration manifests itself in who you are and how
exactly
your brand. Yeah.
Okay, so to go a little bit more in depth, for let's say, for example, if you go to like not like vertically integration, it's not only on the product side, and if you see, for example, you buy these days, you go to another retailer and you see, let's say it's $1,000 on the ticket, then in that $1,000, to go back to the source, there is the retailer who takes 50%, then you have an agent who takes another 20%, and then you have the shipping, the marketing, the advertising, the high street retail that you find those retailers. Those prices get all calculated in the final ticket price. And in our model, you won't find us on like high streets. So we always, our retail locations are already a little bit off center. So, for example, in Soho, you find us on the second floor. In Chicago, we have Oak and Rush. We have a beautiful penthouse there. In Miami, we have a beautiful penthouse right off Lincoln. So we always find interesting retail locations with a big floor print, with a big footprint, and able to make a nice build out and put a lot of energy back into our design and our product. So the whole thing about this is that a suit is never an impulse buy, let's say. So it's your wife who pulls you out of the garden, says, "Hey, you need new suits," or your girlfriend says, "You need to update your wardrobe." So you go in focused, you research it online, and then you will find our name, or you hear it through the grapevine, word of mouth. Like, that's how Suit Supply got big, basically.
Well, you know, I learned about Suit Supply, I think what's interesting is, as someone that works with companies on marketing communications, yeah. I count, you know, numerous times that I've said, you know, you can't be high quality and low price. Mostly, and that makes me sound like I'm being an infomercial here, yeah. But mostly because audiences typically don't believe it, because they think that, you know, we're beat over the head with adages like you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
And, you know, we think that good stuff only costs a lot, you know, that there's a premium price on that. And that if something costs less, the quality must be less. We can only assume that direct relationship. So it's really kind of a clutter-cutting idea, but one you also have to position very carefully on either side, because if you, you know, you don't want to undercut the high quality by appearing cheap, but you also don't want to appear kind of like a too high for someone to consider you unapproachable as well. That's got to be a tricky needle to thread.
Absolutely. Actually, a good thing, actually, the moment we entered the United States market in 2011, the Wall Street Journal did a blind testing with a number of suits. And we had to take the labels out and had to submit it to a board of people who were FIT professors and a bunch of other people. And they researched it on make and fit and fabric and just overall. And they voted us number one next to an Armani $3,500 suit. So that was a great starting point of explaining that products and quality really don't have to do a lot with price points. That high price point for $3,500, those are price points that are being sold on, let's say, Fifth Avenue, where the rent is 10 times or 20 times the amount that will be on the second floor or in a more creative space. Then if you open a fashion glossy, the first 30 pages you will find full page advertisements that cost that cost a fair amount of money as well, and get calculated back in that sales price. Then you find another good example there. There's big billboards you find around, or expensive marketing campaigns. Like, who pays for that? Is the final consumer. That's all calculated into the price that's what you pay for. And in if you see in our product, we put money and effort in developing product and making a very nice traditionally made garment with a canvas interior, with a great quality fabric. So we put more effort in the back end, in product, service, and retail environment, in-store experience, than in putting our name out there and show clients how good we are. We have the consumer tell how good we are, tell their friends, and that's the best way of promotion.
So it's all as opposed to the glossy ads and billboards, which, again, adds on to that price and that expense. A lot more is for Suit Supply lies in the overall brand experience.
Correct.
And again, letting customers tell that story. And in letting customers tell those stories, I have to think, you know, both with the model that you have and also the industry that you're in, fashion, I have to think that influencers are a big part of that as well.
Correct. Correct.
So how has that influencer outreach played out for you?
So again, since we are doing something different, like we are not a mainstream brand. So we are a little bit the misfits in the industry. Then then people find you interesting and they start writing about it. So. And when people, a great article was the mystery the mystery shopper from the New York Times, and they did it as well in Soho because they read all the commotion about the brand and people want to check it out. They want to research it. So then you have some outlets here and there, and slowly, big people in the industry like Tim Gunn, for example, just walked in one day and he was so impressed by the service and the fit of the product and the quality of the product that he just starts engaging it just because he liked it, not because we asked him to, because he was just saying, listen, this is a company that he feels this is just spot on as far as brand, like the fit, and it all comes down to product, he says. And he's a guy who definitely knows what he's talking about. And that's slow, and then he started wearing on a Project Runway, and it's, the word spreads slowly, like word of mouth. And then he's telling his friends in the music industry, and then we have Macklemore, Bruno Mars, with a lot of guys who are just walked in because they like the product and they like the fit and they feel associated with the brand, and not because it's an affordable price, but no, it fits good and they get the right service. Because these days people are telling, hey, I'm a luxury brand, but what does luxury really mean? Like for me, luxury is that somebody walks up to you in the store and tells you how a product should fit and it can explain you the rules, what you should wear to a first interview or what you should wear to a wedding or how your pants should fit and why the cuff from your sleeves need to show. Like all these things, like knowledgeable people who sell you the suit, that's for us one of the most important things in our company.
Well, what do you think of the term luxury brand? That's one that it seems like it's kind of almost had some trouble over the past few years.
Of course, like luxury is not a ticket. Like luxury to me, again, it is a good quality product, of course, but also the person who sells you that product needs to know what he's talking about. And if you walk into a store and you have to wait for a second, do you get offered a glass of water or coffee? Or if you have to use the restroom, that the restroom is clean? If you go into the fitting room, are the fitting rooms nice and cool? If you call the store, do you have to be on hold? Are you getting placed on hold for 10 minutes? Like, all these things are, for me, part of an experience that is luxury if you don't have to wait or you don't get connected 10 times to get to the right person. Like that's for me luxury. If you call the store and somebody helps you right away, if you get an email with your receipt with a survey that has only one question instead of 20 questions. So to go back to this place, that's for me is luxury, is part of experience, in and out, not too long. People make a promise like, hey, the tailoring is done within 3 days, So you get your product in 3 days. Basic alterations, you can wait 30 minutes, it's done in 30 minutes. So in this market, and this especially the fashion market, people don't want to wait. They want to have instant verification. You don't want to wait 2 weeks or argue with your tailor how something should fit. The whole process overall needs to be seamless, and that's what we are always trying to do. Like, how can we make the process easy for a consumer?
Well, the whole marketing model that you're talking about reminds me of, you know, the writings of Seth Godin talking about, you know, creating a purple cow, a business so remarkable that people have to talk about it. And I think that's, you know, one of those easy things that people read that and they're like, yep, that's what we should do. But I think there's a disconnect in how that gets done. So in the day-to-day operations of the business, how is that consistently on your radar, creating those experiences?
On the radar is like we put all our efforts and time to the floor. Like, our people who sell the product are the most important people in our organization. So to create, for example, to get that feeling in the store of being well taken care of, is that all our guys who work in our stores are going to a suit school. We have an internal training program that is starts for 14 to 18 days internal in Soho or in Dallas. And we train all the basics about service, fabrics, how to pin it, how to get fitted. So bottom line, final consumer experience. And before you can go on your own and sell, you have a mentor that's mentoring you for 3 months. And then you have your final thesis, basically. And if you are past that with an average of 78 points, you are able to sell on your own. And then after 6 months, you get tested again and tested again. And so you always keep up. And that's how we guarantee the quality of the staff and a good product. It's just pretty funny because I don't see that. Like, a lot of trainings, when you have companies, they train about environments, and like I've seen a few trainings, and it's not focused on consumers, but it's really focused on how to get the group together.
Yeah, it's kind of some of those, you know, usual standard human resource
exactly.
Things, you know.
But they forget the final product and the final consumer, who's going to pay for it.
Well, your answers are really focused here, because I think that's sometimes to some, it just seems like a hard concept to get their arms around. But you look at that, because every time I've said, you know, kind of pushed back, how do you do that? How do you do that? You keep pivoting back to experience.
Yeah.
And then even after, experience is created by people. And to hear
yes.
you explain it, it sounds pretty easy. But it's amazing, because it seems like there's a lot of folks out there that miss that.
Exactly. It's overthought. Like, not a good luxury example. So people say, oh, I'm going to spend today a lot of money because I want to have a nice product. I want to have a luxury product. So they go into a store and they see a suit hanging. That's $3,000, $4,000. You think, oh, I got a good suit now. And then and then they put it on and it fits terrible. So there you go in your $5,000 suit and it doesn't fit right. So you still don't look the part. And because of that, it's because the person who's selling you the suit, they just want to have their commission in and move on. Because they say, oh, it's an expensive suit, so they you've not been taught how to wear the suit. And to step away from that for a second, how we do that in our store, goes back to the sales guys again, is that they sell the product, it's fitted well, and then when you buy something with your email receipt, you get one survey question: how was your service? Good, bad, or excellent? If the consumer hits bad, then one of our managers reaches out and to see how the experience was and how to make it good again. If the salesperson hits 95% excellent, that means your retention rate of a guy who comes back to you and buys another suit and who tells their friends, you can scale that by this email. That's, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's very easy. So it's a very easy survey. Not like, hey, how was the air conditioning? How was this? How was that? No, it was, how was the guy who helped you? Are you happy with him? Yes or no? And if you say yes, that means when you go to the office a week later with your new suit, like, wow, I had an experience. It was so good. So you create your own marketing tool there.
So the customer experience led by the people, measured via the email survey, the pared down email survey, that again is another retail touch point that so many get wrong and often pile it up with all kinds of, like you said, the air conditioning and every other thing. And
except the product. Like, are you happy with your product and with the overall experience? Yes or no? And if it's no, then you have somebody reaching out to you and they can learn from it. The guys who the regionals or the quality manager will say, listen, I was not happy with this purchase because I didn't get enough attention that I wanted, and then we can learn from it, and we bring that up and we bring those things to our next suit school. So that's so we always involving. And I have to say that the bad rating is a very small percentage, but it's pure that people, they want to have a little more attention, that when you walk in the store, you want to be greeted right away. And in a busy store, like, those small things get forgotten sometimes. And that's why we just keep on going and training that.
Well, the great thing about the insights that you're collecting there too, and the simplicity with which you're doing it, is it's all, like you just alluded to, it's all stuff that you can turn around and do something with. So many of those things are just kind of information for the sake of information.
Exactly.
But knowing if someone's experience was excellent, good, bad, is actionable data that you can use to make the experience better.
Correct.
So you talk about that email, and you talk about the role that people play in the customer experience. If you look around online, you know, you also have some pretty strong personal brand touch points out there. I was looking at YouTube, and you have some of that same expertise. You know, granted, you can't talk to everyone individually online, but with some of your YouTube videos, you've got, you know, kind of expert content out there on, you know, folding pocket squares, on bow ties, on
tutorials.
Suit fit.
Correct.
So, go ahead.
Sorry. No, it's we do that because, especially by any age group, and it changed over the last years. But normally, you've been looking how to wear products by your dad, or your uncle, like somebody in your family who used to wear suits. Or your mom telling you, hey, your dad wears your suit like this, but you don't want to look like your dad. So that information was not accessible till the last few years with the YouTubes, the Instagrams out of this world, the Facebook, that you have instant imagery of people who are wearing suits. Like, oh, that's how I want to look like. I don't want to listen to my mom who tells me that I have to wear this like that. No, you see the image, people coming in the store like, hey, I want to have this. I want to look like this. And that is something that people will go back and they get tutored on, like, hey, how to fold a pocket square. You know, I'm not really comfortable. I never worn one. I've never seen one wearing. But then you go online, you engage your guys in this way to go back and use it. Like, oh, you can fold. You have the television fold, and then we are gonna explain you, like, why is the television called the fold called the television fold? Because it's a funny story behind it. Like. And that's something you will use when you're at the wedding and people are like, hey, you have something to say about what you wear and how. It's a fun thing.
I think that there's, you know, in addition to helping people, like you said, with just kind of these great tutorials do, I didn't think about that. The next step beyond is I think you do a great service to your customers when you can, without talking down to them, but when you can teach them ways that they can sound smarter on their own. I mean, I know you mentioned something like that. That's the kind of story that I know I'd love to tell to sound smart about what I'm wearing.
Exactly. To give you a good example, the most common question we have in the store is that guys ask, they wear their suit and then their sleeves are pretty long that covers to, and it overall covers their shirt. And I tell you, I was like, listen, you need to show a little bit of cuff of your shirt. First of all, it looks aesthetically better visibly better. It creates a little bit more length. But the most important part is your shirt gets dirty first, so it takes the oils off your skin, and it becomes dirty first. And your shirt, that's something you wash every day. And your suit, you don't want to dry clean it every day after you wore. So to take the lifespan a little longer out of your suit by not dry cleaning it, that's why your shirt should your shirt cuff has to show a little bit more, because that gets dirty first. That's the whole reason behind it.
So what other digital brand touch points are a part of that customer experience?
How do you mean with digital? Like other brands who are doing this?
Suit supplies, online, you know, are there other things? I know just because I was bouncing around online and looked at the videos, but are there things that you're doing on Facebook, Instagram, that are in support of that customer experience as well?
It's in our imagery. It shows how, of course, different options how to wear it to different occasions, and if you see the videos behind it, behind the scenes from our campaigns, that's what we use for our social to get a little bit more of a feeling of the brand. Like we make a very serious product, but we don't take ourselves too serious. Like we have fun while doing it. And that's what we are there for, people who want to be seen, basically. So we promote it to guys who like feel, hey, this is kind of cool. It's different. It's, you know, it's not too serious, but it's bottom line. You have a suit, which is, you know, a serious product.
Well, you know,
and that's what we promote on our channels. Like it's fun. It's clean. It's, you know, it shouldn't be that serious.
Well, it's interesting because there is an element of fun. If you go to the Suit Supply homepage, which we'll link up to in our show notes here, I mean, it is very bold, very fun, and it makes me think earlier of, you know, talking about threading that needle of being, you know, high end, high quality, but not necessarily high cost, and how you kind of walk that kind of narrow line. And I think that there is something about your aesthetic, about your brand voice, that conveys that laid back nature that I think helps you do that.
Huh.
What else do you in kind of carefully communicating that? What else is important across all of your brand touch points, online and off?
The easy process, the seamless process about if you go online about getting your right suit, and it's very hard for somebody, again, how to determine your fit online from behind a screen. That's because we're all about fit. That's the hardest part to. If you let's say you live in the middle of like you've never been to one of our physical stores. You go online and you read about it, you heard about it, and you want to make sure that you're going to look like that. So the whole process of getting that door, that box to your door, you want to make sure that you have the right fit and something that fits your body well. And with the videos and with the size configurator, that's how we try to get that same experience online from behind your computer to make enable to get the right fit.
So in thinking about kind of the size and scope of your brand and, you know, some of those things about that can be tricky, I think about that, and it would get even more complex, I would think, in the international size and scope of things. Are there challenges that you face in kind of scaling the brand from market to market, from country to country?
There's always challenges, like... I'm always stimulating ordering two or three sizes because the returns are free and the shipping is free. So order a few sizes to make sure you get the right one. And you know, with some countries you have customs clearings, like to ship to South America is always to Brazil is always tough with taxes. But bottom line, the consumer they get as less as possible of that. That process, you order something and you get it to your door. Sometimes if it's a very popular product, it's out of stock, so we have to find another solution. But overall, you know, that's a trial and error thing. We're talking online right now, right?
It could be either one. I don't think I specified. So just kind of your brand in general. What about communications? Are there different, cultural standards that, you know, make your brand messaging different?
There's always opinions, you know, and there's always opinions, and people say it's, you know, I know what you're referring to, but it's bottom line, that's the fun part of it. And I think in a lot of cases, you know, that's the brand.
So speaking of the brand, and you know, you've obviously worked towards developing a brand that is one that people want to talk about, want to be involved in, and want to experience. So as Suit Supply has its roots as a startup, I'm a mentor at a startup accelerator here. What would you tell a new startup who is thinking about, you know, not only their business model and everything else on their plate? What would you tell them about what the role of branding plays?
So I think it comes, it's all about the final product that you deliver. And if you have a vision in mind, like our CEO and founder of the company has a very clear understanding of the brand, and he is, he has a vision, and that's something that, you know, evolves over time, but a good example here. Four years ago, when we entered the United States market, people were like, Suit Supply sounds a little tacky. It doesn't sound sexy enough. It's tough. It's, but when the brand was, when he founded the brand about 12, 13 years ago, Suit Supply in Holland, where he started it out of his dorm room, selling it to his fellow students, and it became a bigger thing. You never knew that it became an international brand. And sticking to his true origin, and by not have anybody else tell how to do it, but follow your own vision, that's the success behind it. And look at like Suit Supply. We do what we do. We don't make it better than we are. Like, we don't have a fancy name or from over promoting it by what you finally get. And the moment you walk into our door and you see the environment and the product and the whole branding behind it, the whole name makes sense and it becomes cool. And you're like, wow, this is kind of cool. Like, another good example, look at the Standard Hotel. Like, there's nothing standard about the hotel, but it's upside down and it's an experience. And the same from the Public Hotel in Chicago. It's not for the public, but it's called the Public House, and it's an experience.
Well, it's, you know, especially when you think about all the great advice, but so much advice in volume, in mass, that startups get, that companies get entering new markets. And I think that was such a great decision point when, you know, because it'd be easy to say, you know what, I don't think the name's quite right, but to just kind of stick to it and to have some sort of, like you said, some sort of vision. I think is key, because otherwise you end up kind of just flip-flopping and not knowing
Correct. What's
the most important, who you are and what you stand for.
And it's not the name, it's the product you deliver and the experience around it. That is the most important thing. If you say, listen, you have a startup and you have something that you know you believe in, stick to that script. And don't go with this, or don't let yourself catch off guard. Like, yeah, no, just make what you do and become the best in it.
That's so good. I'm taking a moment because I wanted to scribble that down here for myself. So what do you think most, if you could think about it, what do you think most are missing? What's something that might be hiding in plain sight when it comes to building a strong and engaging brand today?
The people around you, like, if you have people who are good in what they do, don't have them change and have them do something else because you need them for something else. You know, it's like I'm not a good manager, I cannot manage anything. I know what I can, but I cannot manage anything. So you find somebody who is the best at managing products, and then get him next to you and make sure that he does what he does best. So divide the roles and you know, work around it. That's the only way to build. Otherwise, you're like same thing in school. When you were a kid, there was always a few things that you were very good at. And then there was a few things that you were very bad at. And then you came at home and your parents tell you, like, you need to get better at math. And then you crush your brains on math, but then you become average on something that you're good at because you don't put a lot of time in it. And then you become average in everything. So I tell my guys all around, like, focus what you're good in and become the best. And the stuff that you're less good in, finance or anything else that needs to be done in an organization, have people do that who are good in that.
Yeah, that's great advice just for careers in general.
Let the creatives do the creative part. Let the operational people do the operational part. The finance people, and then just make sure that they're all on point as far as the brand. And then you can create something and you can bring it to the next step and the next level. That's how you can grow. But still oversee and get your hands in everything and listen and observe and see what goes wrong and, you know, It's a fun process overall.
Well, believe it or not, we have come full circle because we started out mentioning that Suit Supply came up as a brand that made one of our previous guests smile, and that's how we got connected. And
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, well, it's a great, and again, I guess I didn't even think about this. Your whole point in talking about your brand experience and not, you know, running the big glossy ads, that it's that word of mouth. And I'll be darned if that's not exactly what happened here that led me to Suit Supply and to you as well. But as we wrap up, what is a brand that's made you smile recently?
I smile every time I walk into a Ralph Lauren store.
Uh-huh.
Or Best Buy a Ralph Lauren store or anything Ralph Lauren. But what he does and what he created is a monster.
So what is there anything about it specific when you walk into that store that it's...
It's so on point. It's he, like the Ralph Lauren experience from in front of the window till inside, the music, the smell, everything is taken care of, is well thought of. The everything, and that's something I admire a lot. Like it's,
well, you know, this I love this this feature in the show because sometimes it's a new brand that at the time I hadn't heard of, like Suit Supply. And other times it's these classics like Ralph Lauren who are still doing it day in day out and have been for years. I mean, that's
exactly, and that's there's something about building a name for yourself, but keeping it up at a level. That's the hardest part.
So,
and especially with the volume and the amount of store and the amount like that is just something else.
Oh yeah, I mean, the scale and the scope. I mean, it's hard for a small business to be consistent, but when you look at that footprint that they've got, that's no small task.
And then for a lot of the people, you only see a tip of the iceberg. Like you see the stores you walk in, but there is a back end behind it. As far as fabrics production, if you see and with his sub labels, like he has, if you see WRL, it's the range. People like you walk into a store and it's his life,
yeah.
With the cars, with the this, like the furniture, it's so spot on. And you go to the black label world and it's totally different. It's clean. It's this. It's just, I think it's amazing.
Yeah. So. As we continue the word of mouth, where can people go to learn more about you and Suit Supply?
So one of the things, like I am always in one of the stores on Saturday because to stay connected with the clients and to see what's really going on. I'm always selling. So that's something how we became big and I have the most fun on that part. So I'm always, on Saturdays I'm in Soho or in Madison Avenue just to meet clients and to see, you know, what are they saying? What do they need? Like, do they need a new suit or are they missing something in the collection? Because that's how we can grow our brand. And for people who are not near a store, I think order online, and the experience that you will see as far as the from the start from to buy something online to the delivery at your house in the way how it's packed, the box and everything, you will be surprised. If for you, same thing. If you say, hey, listen, I'm really into branding kind of stuff, order something and you will see, and you will give me a call like, okay, this is pretty sweet.
Well, I think this is one of the first kind of closing plugs where, in addition to the website, where we've actually gotten a physical location to go find you. So I think that's great. I hope a lot of people can make it out and experience things for themselves.
Yeah. And another thing I want to add, sorry to them, is that as far as feedback, is if you talk to people, like feedback to grow is 90% is you should have honest and negative feedback instead of, oh, it's great, I love it, it's beautiful. No, you see, like, hey, this is what bothers me, because that's how you can build and become better, not by, you know, honest opinions. But hey, listen, this box, it was nice, but, because that's how you can grow. Not by saying, oh, it's great, it's love, it's beautiful. Like, honest feedback.
Absolutely.
Straight up.
Well, this is great. We will link up to everything. Suit Supply websites, so that people can experience things for themselves. They can come find you at the store. We'll do all of that in the show notes here. Nish, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for your time, and thanks for hearing me.
Awesome. And before we go, I want to flip the microphone around to our listeners. Rob Yogel recently gave the show a shout and included me on a list of 13 marketers you should know more about. Thanks, Rob. And he's actually going to be a guest coming up here soon. He leads marketing at a company called Gaggle. So, Rob, thanks for listening. Thanks for linking. And you'll be talking here in a few weeks. Reminder, if you heard something that you liked on this episode or another, or if you have a question you'd like our guest to answer, let us know on Twitter using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. You can find links to everything that we talked about, Suit Supply, everything in between, over at BrandDrivenDigital.com. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and RSS. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over to the iTunes, give us a quick rating and review, help others find the show. And don't forget that this podcast is brought to you by the industry-leading Social Brand Forum. Save $100 by using promo code ONBRAND. Learn more and register now for this premier digital marketing experience at socialbrandforum.com. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.